So I'm going, now started recording, and I'm going to paste into the chat the link to our Google Doc for our lecture notes. And at the end of this document, which if I drag over into this window, I can go to the very end of this document. So over the last week or so, I was finally able to find some of the documentation I had been hoping to find before. So specifically the one I'd been looking for before was, used to be part of the wiki.blender.org, but they put it in the archive of .blender.org. And it's this Scripps cookbook link, which if I go there, says, note, this is an archive version. This has a bunch of code snippets in it for doing different things, but what specifically is really useful is this one on the interface, which tells you a lot about panels and buttons and how to make panels and buttons appear in different places in your user interface and the code that makes that happen. And then really excellent is how to do panel layout, so that you can, you know, make your control panel, you know, have any kind of flow or layout or organization that you want. And this is the only document I've ever found that really gives examples of how to do all this. And here they show how to make that exact panel with all the different little commands for making buttons, you know, appear above and below each other, separate, connected, with a box around it, have icons in your buttons, all kinds of things. It's all demonstrated there. And then how to make your panels appear. But today we're gonna get into panel properties a little bit more. We did a little bit of that in the tutorial last time. But this is one of the pages that I thought was really useful. But the other thing I found in the process of tracking this down again was this wiki book called Blender 3D Noob to Pro, which is a whole book. And there's a PDF version of the book, which is here. And the PDF version of the book is 2,254 pages. And it has this really extensive treatment of lots of things. So the reason I'm mentioning this book is, so there's a HTML version of the book and the PDF version of the book. So here's the HTML one, and here's the table of contents. And it starts with some good background information on Blender and what Blender can do and blah, blah, blah. And then it goes into the basics of creating models, graphics models in Blender, which is the main purpose of Blender, right? And all kinds of really extensive overview of all the different tools that Blender has for doing modeling, creating objects. And it goes deep into some more advanced things. And then it has taking off with advanced tutorials. So it starts with Python scripting. So this is, you know, a lot of the material in this Python scripting is what we've been going through in the tutorials I've been giving you. But the reason I'm mentioning all this is because before you can, you know, learn about, you know, or, you know, undertake the process of, you've got something in your head that you know you want to do, an analysis you want to do, you have to know, you have to have an idea of, you know, what are the tools in my toolbox that I can draw upon to accomplish my task, right? This book will give you, and then other resources on the web, once you start knowing enough about what you want to do, you can then start using the web and doing queries on the web to find out more details. This book though, is a really great resource to go to find out, okay, if I want to do this, how would I do it? Then you say, okay, now I can see that I can do this analysis of this object and get the result that I'm looking for, but now how do I automate that, right? So then you can start scripting, right? So these two things, right, kind of go together. Knowing what you want to do, what you want to accomplish, getting an idea of how can I do it, demonstrating that you can do it, and then automating it, right? These are the things, okay? And then, what I want to start touching upon today is, once you have it automated, how can I now quickly develop my add-on, as a computer engineering task? What because you can automate your automation, right? And computer scientists and software engineers use tools to help manage the process of engineering the software, right? So now you're engineering, right? You're engineering an add-on, but how do I make it easier to engineer the add-on? Well, there's more engineering, right? So since we've been developing this add-on, this really toy, simple add-on, we're going to continue today, and I'm going to show you how to use Git to make a Git repository. And then I'm going to post this Git repository that you'll be able to clone, and then you'll have a copy of the add-on that we've been developing together. And then you'll be able to make a branch of that add-on, and then we'll have the hands-on of doing more with the add-on. But you know, so I was thinking, you know, I don't know what Lupe thinks of this. She has some ideas of how she would like to see our tutorial proceed. I want to make sure that I'm giving you what we think you need to do. But if you're going to be developing add-ons and hands-on add-ons, I need a way to transmit to you the add-on that we've been developing together in a more convenient way, so that then you can participate and modify and in a branch of your own the add-on, right? Or I can just email it to you, right? But that's not the software engineering way to do it, right? Software engineering way to do it is to use Git, right? And the sooner you learn how to use Git, the happier you will be, I think. Okay, so I'm going to share my screen. Oh, I guess I haven't been sharing my screen, have I?
No, but that's fine, because we've been following along with the links.
Okay. But this is I was going to the, you know, to the noob to pro, showing you, here it is, here's the PDF version. And it has, it's taking a while to download.
I think you were pretty descriptive enough, we could follow along.
Okay, the 200 pages and the table of contents it has and all this. Okay, there it is. And this was the cookbook, and it has this interface section, and it shows all the, you know, how to lay out an add-on. And here are the buttons I was talking about that have different layouts, and I was using my mouse to point at these things. And you have the code for all of it, and this is the code that would lay out a panel just like this, with icons and the buttons. Okay, I just wanted to quickly, this is this archive of the code cookbook and code snippets. Okay, which is really, really useful. Okay, so back here in our notes, and these were the links that we added to our notes that you were looking at. Okay, so over here, what I was doing just before class today was figuring out a good resource for how to use Git, but I couldn't I couldn't find exactly the right one. There's several good resources for using how to use Git, and I wanted to put the link there. Maybe, you know, later we can do that. But okay, so here I'm sharing the screen. I'm in the Blender scripting tutorials directory on my laptop, but this is some of this material is in the link at the very beginning of this in the FTP site, the Blender scripting tutorials area. And what I was going to do, I was trying to decide, should I just upload this a zip file of the Add ICOS add-on and put it there, or should I make a Git repository that you can just grab? And I think the best way to do this would be to have a Git repository that I'm going to make, and I'm going to push right now and show you how to do it. And then we can put the link to that add-on right here, somewhere in our document. Okay. So the way you make a Git repository is you can start from scratch with something that you haven't even done yet and make a directory. But if you already have a directory, which we do, we have this add ICOS add-on directory, you can say git init add ICOS add-on. And now, the Add ICOS add-on is a Git repository. Okay, so if I go inside, it looks just the same as it did before. If I do ls minus al on it, it now has a new subdirectory called .git. That wasn't there before. I didn't show you that it wasn't there before. It's called .git. And it doesn't matter, but inside the .git directory is, you know, a whole bunch of files that Git uses to keep track of everything you're doing. So what is Git? Git is a code revision management tool. So it keeps track of your code and the revisions that you make to your code so that you can kind of keep a journal, a record of everything that you've done in the project. And with it, you can make different versions of your code and make different branches of your code and jump between branches. You can go back in time to an earlier version and remind yourself of, you know, what was that code like? And what this does is it frees up your brain so that you don't have to keep track in your own brain of everything yet that you've done. It does it for you. Okay. So I've just made this into a Git repository. And if I do Git status, so if I'm up one directory above where this is, and if I say Git status here, it's going to say not a Git repository. So this directory that I'm in now, the one called Blender Scripting Tutorials, is not a Git repository. But if I go inside my Add ICOS add-on, I can say Git status, and it says I'm on a branch called master. So when you make a new repository, it automatically has what's called a master branch. It says there's no commits yet, and there are untracked files. And the untracked files are these three files. It says nothing added to commit, but there are untracked files present. Use git add to track them. Okay, so I could say, so what I've done is I've made a new Git repository called add ICOS add-on, and this is it. But it didn't automatically add these files to my repository. So if I say git add, it says maybe you want to say git add dot. So nothing added yet. If I say git add dot, now if I say git status, it's so when I said git add dot, that means it's going to add everything in this directory to the repository. So now git status says there are new files that I've added. There's no commits yet. Changes that need to be committed are these, because there's three new files. These files. Okay. So, it says these are new files, but I haven't made any commits yet. So then I can say git commit minus A, and that minus A means so I'm going to commit to the repository the changes I've made, and the minus A means even the things that even the new files that I've added. And then when I do that, when I say git commit minus A, it opens an editor where it wants me to type in some description of what the commit is about. So this is where you're documenting your journal. So Git is like a journal of your work that keeps track. And so now I'm making an entry in my journal about what this is, right? So usually at the very beginning, you would just say, this is the initial import of files into PyCos. Something like that. And that's all you have to say. And then I can say quit from, that's like a text editor, and whatever your default text editor is in your environment, that's the text editor that would be used. And now if I say git status, let me do a clear so you can see that better. Now when I do git status, it says on branch master, nothing commit, working tree clean. So that means, as far as it knows, you haven't made any changes to any of the files that are being tracked. And if I do git log, it tells me that there's a commit with this special code number in it, and I'm the author of it, and the date was, you know, just a moment ago, and here's the message, initial import of files into add ICOS add-on. Okay, so there it is. And where this information is being stored is right now in this repository that's right here in this directory on my hard drive, and it's mine. And I haven't published it or put it anywhere. So it's right here. So what I want to do now is actually push this repository to a remote location and publish it so that you guys can get it from there and make a clone of this add-on from that location. So I'm going to say git push. Let's see. And if I just say git push and with no arguments, it says no configured push destination. Either specify the URL from the command line or configure a remote repository saying git bot using this command where you say git remote add, and then you can, you know, name the remote and the URL for it. So I'm going to say, so Lupe, where do you think we should put this? I could put this in, let's see, I keep looking off to the side because that's where your pictures are. I could put this in my own personal place on GitHub, or I could put it in the MCell team, make a new repository on the MCell team.
Yeah, I think that's a good option.
Yeah, put it on MCell team, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we can figure out how to organize this better later, but I'll just call it the Add ICOS add-on. I'll just keep that name, and that'll be the name of the repository on MCell team. Okay. So let's see. I think name might be optional. Let's see. Either specify the URLs from the command line or configure a remote repository using this. Okay. So maybe I'll just call the place I'm putting it, MCell team, git remote add MCell team, and the URL is https://github.com/MCell team. And then I can name this I guess I want to name it after what it is, because we don't have like a directory. See, we could organize this different ways. I could start over again with this and make a directory that's going to contain all the different things we do, or I can just make one specific one for this one. Let's just make one specific one for this one. I think that'll do it. So, okay, so I did that. And now I can say git push to MCell team, because I'm following along with what it says here. Aha. Uh-huh. Has no upstream branch. Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. So there's some configuration thing. So it's nice that it gives a hint of what it thinks you might want to do. So I'm gonna do this. And it says that's not found. Okay, so maybe what
do you
I
have to create it in GitHub first, the repo. I'm not sure.
I don't think you do. But maybe it's because maybe this is what's wrong. Maybe I don't name the URL for the remote MCell team already exists. How do I? All right. So you're seeing that I don't really know how to use Git as well as I should. Maybe there's a way to remove. Yeah, okay, and now I can add it back again. Okay, and then I can do my push GitHub I guess it's acting like it really does want there to be a new repository out there. And we don't have Adam on the call with us today to help figure this out. Okay. All right. But it's going to be worth learning how to do this. Okay. Okay. Okay, start a new repo and publish it to GitHub. So I'm on this guides, github.com, introduction, GitHub handbook. Okay, git add, git commit, git remote add. Aha. Okay, git add origin, git add origin. Okay, I need to do something like this. Git remote add origin. That's what I need to do. Git remote add. Git remote add origin. Okay. And then I can say origin main. Why does that say main? Why does it say main and not master? Git push.
The reason why they changed it to main is because of the movement for Black Lives Matter, and they changed master to main.
Ah, I see.
Ah.
Yes.
Okay. I see.
So it's the same thing.
It's the same thing, but I'm going to use master because that's, I think, what, how my branches are already named. Let's see. Origin. Huh. It still says it. It's not happy about that. Huh. Why isn't that working? Not sure why that didn't work.
So it says in the little comment, it says provide the link to the repository you created on GitHub. So I think that also assumes that it already exists.
Ah, okay. I didn't see that. Yep. I'm not really reading. Okay. So let's do that. I'm going to go to GitHub MCEL team. And I'm already, I need to log in, sign in. Okay, maybe the password was wrong. Yeah, that was it. Okay, new. What does new do? Does that make a new repository? Create a new repository. Okay. Okay, public. Okay, they're showing you git branch minus m main, right? Okay. So I think that worked. Okay, there it went. Okay. So as long as everyone is happy with the word master instead of main, we can stick with it. I think there's a way to change the name of that, but after the fact, but okay. Okay. So there it is. I'll get rid of that there. And so once we have that out there, then there's a way for you to clone that on your laptops or on your machines. And I think I could do that myself. So here's my add ICOS add-on, but I can make a directory called git test or something and go inside git test, and I can make a clone of my own repo to show you how to do that. So you would say git clone https://github.com. And this is something that you could do on your own machines. mcell team add ICOS add-on .git. I think the .git is optional. And then I usually like to put it in, if you just do it like this, it'll clone those files into the current directory and not make a subdirectory. But I like making a subdirectory. So I'm gonna call it the same name, add ICOS add-on. And put a slash at the end. I think we'll force it to make a subdirectory. And it says, yeah, cloning into add ICOS add-on, right? So now I've got a clone of that repo. And I could do git status in here. And it says your branch is up to date with origin master, where origin is the remote location on GitHub. Okay, so then, you know, I could be making changes to this and making commits, and the commits I make will be to my local copy, and unless I say git push to push the changes back to the remote repo, my changes are only for me and they're only local, and git status will show me the status of the changes I've made, and I can make commits that are to my local repo with a git log, and I can see all my changes there, and that sort of thing. But what if I wanted my changes to be in a particular branch? Oh, Melanie has a question. Oh, I think you're muted.
So I'm just trying to follow along. Have other people managed to do the clone?
Not sure.
Okay, we can sort this out later. That's
okay. So at this point, I could now start showing you the hands-on things that I wanted to show you. And you could either, you know, do that also yourself or just watch again. But the changes will all be in the repo. So at the end of I didn't start with this because we needed to learn some things first, but now we're at the point where you need to learn some of these software engineering practices. And there's some good tutorials on Git, and we'll paste a link to those good tutorials into our document. Okay, so I'm gonna put our document over there, and let's see, so I'm going to start up Blender. And I think I recently updated my Blender, so that would have lost the inclusion of the Add ICOS add-on in the tool shelf. So let's add it back. But remember, if I edit the Add ICOS, I guess it's in this init.py. So just to recap a little bit, we had originally developed our script in the scripting interface in here. This blend file is not the blend file we were working with. Let's see, I can open that if I go back to, I don't know, somewhere. I'm in some subdirectory here. We had the Blender scripting tutorial, and our most recent class was on December 16th. And I could open that. Originally, we had developed the add-on in the text widget of Blender, and in order to run it, we had to say run script. But then later, we turned it into a real bona fide add-on that could be found in the add-ons, and we could activate it. But we don't see it in here now because we haven't added it. This is a updated version of Blender that I installed, and it forgot that I had the add-on. So I could say install add-on from file. And here was our add-on. And we had made to install add-ons from a file, you have a zip file. So I'm going to click on the zip file, and I'm going to say install add-on from file. And it makes a new category called scene. If you remember, in our add-on, we put it in a category called scene. So there's a category called scene over here, which has our scene. Add random ICOS is the description we gave to it. Add random ICOS, that was the name that we gave to it. And if I go in here, it says it's going to be installed in this directory, or it is installed in this directory. It's in the scripts add-ons directory of the whole Blender installation. And I can remove it or report a bug about it. If I think in this BL info block, you can put a URL for where to report bugs, right? And if you did, then it would appear here, and when you said report a bug, it would, I think, pull up a widget and let you type in a description of the bug, and then it would send an email to whatever it said in here. Okay, but we don't have that configured. But you can see they've really thought of a lot of things the Blender developers have thought of a lot of things. So it's really kind of nice. But this grayed out, and the fact that the checkbox doesn't have a check in it, means that the add-on exists, but it's not currently activated. So I have to click on here to activate it. Boom, there it is. If I say save user settings, that'll now be every time I log in to Blender, or every time I start Blender, it'll be there. And you can see now it says hello world panel. Here's our panel. And we called it hello world instead of add ICOS, right? And there's a little, these are the features that we had put in it before. So there's an operator that makes it happen. And then a property that we configured that lets us control how many get added. And there's an undo. So if I hit Control Z, it undoes that. And if I, you know, if I set 100 here instead of 10, I now get 100. Okay. So that's where we had left it, and now it's in a GitHub repo, and you guys can grab it and make changes to it and use Git to do it. And that's what I'm going to do. So now
I think you may have to make it public, Tom.
Oh, I thought I did.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think several of us can't see it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't see it either, Tom. I think it's not there.
Oh, that's odd. Okay. Let's see what we can do about that. I'm going to pull this back over here. And we have just enough time. So this, you know, it took us the whole hour to kind of get ourselves up to speed with this, but I think it was time well spent. It's part of the tutorial, is, you know, teaching you how to do these things. Okay, so I'm going to go to the MCEL team, GitHub MCEL team, add ICOS iodine. Okay, oh, it says private. You saw me, right? It's in the recording. All right. Let's see. I'm logged in as me, so I should be able to go in here. And how do I change the permissions on this guy?
Maybe security?
Where do you see that?
Top right, third.
Top right.
So settings, insights, security.
Ah.
Settings, yeah.
Ah, oh, security right there. Okay. Settings.
Maybe it isn't settings.
Social download template. All right, that's some other setting. Security. Huh. Maybe if I click on that, look up private. No, that's not what we want. Oh, come on. Code. What happened?
I just Googled it. So in settings, is there a place that says danger zone? Because if there is, you have to click on that.
Danger zone?
Okay, maybe I found an old thing because I can't see it here.
Manage access. Okay, here we go. Manage access. Okay. Private repository manage. Okay. Danger zone. Here we are. Change repository visibility. Change visibility. Make public. Okay. I understand. Warning, this is potentially destructive action.
You have to type in the confirmation.
Oh, come on. So, okay, potentially destructive action. Make this repository visible. Anyone can fork you. Your changes will be published as activity. That's okay. I don't mind that. Let's see. Copy, paste. I understand. Okay. So now if we say manage access, it doesn't say private anymore up here, and it says public. Okay, good. So if I go back here to MCEL team, if I go to MCEL, MCEL doesn't say private, right?
Yeah, I just managed to clone it, so it's fine.
Yeah, okay, good.
It seems
and MCEL is also public because it doesn't say public here. Security. I don't see a similar manage for mcell, don't know why. Anyway, whatever. It's done. Okay. Good. Okay, so you know, in the blend file where we had been developing this, we had the code here, but then eventually we copied the code out to I'm gonna quit from Blender here. Eventually we copied the code out to our directory, right? And to turn it into a bona fide add-on, I taught you that in Python, if you have a directory with some name, and inside that directory, there's a file called underscore underscore init underscore underscore dot py, that turns, from Python's point of view, that turns this directory into a Python package that you can import into Python using import, add icos, add on, right? Into Python. And so by having our add-on be in this, in a directory of this name, this name becomes the name of our add-on from Python's point of view and from Blender's point of view. So when Blender looks at this add-on in a directory called icos add-on, it looks for, Blender's running Python to do it. So Python is responsible and says, well, this is the name of the directory and there's a file called, init.py in there. So therefore, Blender could say, import add icos add-on in order to access it. And what gets read are the contents of the init.py file, which contains the code for our add-on that we had previously typed into the scripting text widget in Blender, right? So this is that add-on, right? So somewhere in here it says, hello world. We can keep the name hello world panel for now, or change it later when we decide to change it. Let's maybe keep the name hello world panel the same, but I'm going to go down here and instead of the category saying hello world, for the category I'm going to say add icos or something. And now with it saying add icos, when I run Blender, we have our hello world panel. It doesn't say add icos here. Why, right? Because, well, the reason is I changed the code in my working copy, but I didn't import this I didn't install it into Blender as the updated icon, as the updated add-on. So I don't know if people want to go a little bit longer, or if you want, it's now 11 o'clock, if you want to run off. I feel like I should show you and remind you as the last thing here, after you make changes to your, the software, so the workflow that I like to use for software engineering, the add-on is kind of an old school way to do it. Adam, I think, uses what's called an integrated development environment, an IDE. I think he uses Eclipse to do it. I haven't learned how to use Eclipse. I should. And we should teach you how to use Eclipse or something equivalent to it for best practices. But we'll cover that in a future workshop. So the old school way that I like to use, because I come from a time before any of these tools were available and I just learned a way of doing it the old way. It's old school because I'm old school. I guess. You know, or I'm going to show you the old school because that's what I, that's all there was when I learned how to do it. you know, it is a useful skill to learn, even if you learn to use an IDE and prefer to use an IDE. Sometimes you'll find yourselves on a computer system, like at a supercomputer center or something, where the machine doesn't have those things. And so then you have to ask yourself, okay, so how can I get my work done on this machine that doesn't have that tool? And I need to do it there, right? For some reason, something comes up and you have to do your development there rather than on your machine and then copy the things over, maybe, I don't know. How would you do it? You'd have to know how to do it. So it's useful to know these old school things because sometimes that's all there is. Okay. So I'm gonna clear and, so I just made a small change to init.py. And let's see, and there's a zip command. So previously, let's see, previously, previously I had shown you that in this make file that we use for Neuropil tools, there's a zip command that says that. So this, at some point we'll make a make file and I'll show you a little bit about the make command for our new add-on, but we're gonna kind of build up to it. So, but there's a zip command in our make file that makes the zip file for Neuropil tools. And we're going to use, but this is in kind of make syntax here a little bit. But on the command line, I can say zip with these options. And then the name of the zip file that we want to make, which is going to be add icos.zip. And then the zip files, which are going to be sources. This says so .slash add icos init .slash, and that's the only thing, I think that's the only thing in it right now. So our add-on consists of only one file, really. It's this init.py file. These other files here are just here as part of managing the project, and they're not really part of the add-on technically. So if I do this, okay. So I now have a new add icos add-on.zip. And now I think over here in our Blender, I can go to user preferences. I can go to the scene add-on and I can maybe, oops, that didn't. Right, but I can say remove it. So that what that does is it removes the old add-on. And notice that now we don't have a scene category anymore because I think this add-on that we just removed is the only one in the category called scene. So now I can say install add-on from file again. And this, yeah, this widget is smart enough to remember where we had been recently. And I can do that. And I can say install add-on from file. And then activate it again, save user settings. And this still doesn't say, looks like that didn't update, even though I told it to be in a different, I thought I did. Let's see, I'm going down and looking in our thing, hello world panel. Creates panel in tool shell. Category add icos. Oh, this, it must be the label, hello world panel. No, that's this label here. And the category is the name that it's supposed to get here. Not sure why it didn't change. I'm not sure why. Let's go back in here maybe. I'm going to maybe remove it again. Save, maybe I have to quit. So it's not there anymore. Maybe I have to quit. Maybe it's, for some reason, it doesn't update its internal information. Okay. File. User preferences. Install. File. This is going to remember. It's that zip file. Install that. Activate it. Huh, it still says. Still says hello world over there. That's really weird. Yeah, and it's just the word hello world. Huh. I don't get it. Seems impossible. It must be that the zip file.
So say, can you check maybe, the date on your zip file?
Yeah, maybe it didn't, maybe zip didn't replace. I'm going to remove.
It seems it did.
Yeah, I'm going to remove that zip file, and then I'm going to make the zip file again. Ah, I think it added the file twice. So look at the size of the zip file now and what it was before. I think when I made the zip file, it just appended to the zip file. And it was in there twice, right? I think is what happened. Okay, so let's try this again.
How could it be there twice? I don't understand it.
I'm just guessing, but the file got twice as big after I zipped it, after I zipped it twice. So
there was already a zip file from last time.
Yeah, there was a zip file from last time, and then I said zip a new thing to the zip file of the same name, and rather than replace the zip file, it appended to the zip file. So that means The same directory was in the zip file twice, I think. And when you unzip a zip file like that, I'm not sure what it does.
Okay.
It seems like it should be invalid. I normally don't use zip files. I don't think I really recommend it, but it's what Blender uses because it's zip files are available on all computing platforms. Well, meaning Windows. Because everybody else can deal with an open source, a different open source archive called gzip, GNUzip, which is but has a different structure to it. But Windows doesn't recognize, you know, GNU open source software. At least historically they haven't. They have this philosophy called NIH, which means not invented here. So if anything was not invented here, we don't want it, right? That's kind of the way they look at things. Okay, so let's see. So we already had the hello world in there from before. So I have to go into user preferences, go to it, remove it. Okay. And now if this is smart, I should be able to find it, do it, install, activate. It still says hello world.
The size of that, did you check the size of the file that you were adding or the zip file? Because it still looked like it was a big one.
It's small now.
But in Blender, it said, if you, because it shows.
Oh, did it?
Blender. Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, so maybe let's go through the whole, let's go through this whole procedure again here. I'm going to go in here. I'm going to scene. I'm going to go here. I'm going to say remove it. Save. Quit. Restart. Okay, it's not there. User preferences, and we don't see scene because there is no such thing right now. Install, add ICOS. Huh, it still says.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, it
still says. Is that the correct directory? Do you have it exactly once?
You're exactly right. You're exactly right, Melanie. Was that you, Melanie, saying that? You're exactly right. It's back out here, git test, add ICOS. This, we were working in a copy. We were working in a cloned copy. Okay, you can see how you can confuse yourself pretty easily. Okay, and add it, and now it says add ICOS. Yay! Okay.
Yay!
Okay. So that's probably enough for today. We learned how to use Git to make a Git repo. We learned how we can confuse ourselves that way, and how we can replace our add-on. And next time we'll make a makefile so that it's much easier to do. Okay, so if I go back here to quit, but we just made a change. If I do git status, it says I modified init.py and icos.zip file, which is true. So I can say git commit minus a, and then I can say, change name of tool shell tab to, and you could decide for yourself how much detail you want to put in your description here. For something like this, this is kind of, that's all you have to say, I think. But it's generally a good practice to be pretty descriptive about what changes you made. And so if I do that now, if I say git status, it says nothing to commit, working tree clean. And if I do git log, it says, let's see if I clear this so you can see this better. If I say git log, you can see that the changes are given in kind of reverse chronological order. So the most recent at the top. So you can see right away who did what, when they did it, and what they say they did. And there's a different commit hash. This is called a commit hash. This is a unique code. Well, almost unique, right? Because there's a tiny chance that something else could give the exact same code, but there's a lot of there's a lot of digits there, so the odds are probably really ridiculously small that that would could ever happen. And as, once you have these commit hashes, you can now make, you can now check out a different version of the code. You can go back in time and check out a different version of the code, and go back and forth to different versions of the code by you know taking, you know by using these tags to jump around in the chronological in the chronology of your work if you want to. Okay, I won't show you how to do that, but it's pretty simple. And because these things are committed, you can never lose that information once it's in there. Now, this is only on my hard drive now though, right? So if I were at this point to say git pull, to try to pull from a remote location, so pull will pull from the origin that we had pushed to originally, you know, on MCell team on GitHub, right? But what when I do a git pull here, what it's saying is it says already up to date. Well, that information already up to date pertains to the remote location, not to my current location. What this is telling me is there's no change that's been made there that I don't already have. But of course, git status tells me nothing to commit working directory clean, but look up here, there's some more information. It says you're on branch master, could be main, right? Your branch is ahead of origin master by one commit. So it knows that we're ahead, we've done changes that aren't yet on the origin. So what I could do now is I could say git push. And what it just did was publish those changes to MCell team. So now if you guys were to say git pull, if you have made changes to your you know to your repo that you haven't committed and you try to do a git pull, it'll tell you, it'll warn you, say you've got some changes that haven't been committed, so I can't do the pull, right? But if you didn't make that change that in parallel with me that I made, right, you could do a git pull now and it would pull in the change that I made and then you would have that, right? And if you did git log, you would see, or if you do a git log now, it'll tell you where you are now and then you can do the pull and then do git log and see the new thing happen. Okay. And so what happens if you did make that change and you committed it? And so now you have the same change to the code that I made and that I just pushed, right? If you do a git pull, it'll say there's a conflict with, and I'll, it'll, and there's a way to get information about the conflict. And then if there's a conflict, you can look in the code and see, where the conflict occurs, and then you can resolve the conflict. You can say, oh, I'll keep their line of code and delete my line of code or whatever, right? So, but generally, you know, with a project with lots of, that consists of lots of files and you've got lots of people working on it. And if you are organized, some people will be working on one file and other people will be working on another file. You won't be conflicting with each other and doing and each, you know, doing the same thing twice or in different ways, right? You'll all be working on a different part of the project and collaborating this way. And then you could use git push and pull and work that way. Or another way to work is to make your own branch of the code where you make changes to your branch and they're making changes to their branch. And each branch is has a purpose to develop some new feature of the code, right? And then later, and then you could be pushing to your branch onto the remote site. And that way other people could see what your work has been on that branch if they want to look at it. And then they can decide, or you could decide, to merge two branches together. And if the work has been done in kind of an organized way, there won't be too many conflicts or no conflicts, right? And then you can merge, and now everybody can have the new merge thing, right? Or if there are conflicts, you can resolve the few conflicts, and then you're done, right? So it's kind of cool that you can do this with Git. Anyway, so that's probably enough for today. So next time, we will start working on this add-on, some more hands-on, and add some new features to it, and some new properties, and some new data that we can hang on to the objects, so that we can then do analysis on that data, and I can show you how to manipulate the properties and make widgets that work with those properties. This is kind of getting more to the core of kind of everyday things that you're very common everyday things that you're going to want to be able to do in an add-on that's doing kind of a research data analysis kind of thing. And where the power comes in is in the properties that you can hang on to different things. And the richness of the kinds of properties that you can hang on to different parts of your scene, different objects, different parts of objects, become a database to store the information that becomes part of that's part of your analysis. And this is where the real power of Blender comes in. And you haven't yet seen the richness of these properties. So your eyes haven't been opened yet to the world of possibilities. But as soon as you do, then you'll start to be able to really see what's going on. And I think what Lupe had hoped for future workshops is after you have learned enough about these properties and your eyes have been open to the possibilities that are, that come with those properties, then maybe we can start assigning some problem sets or break up into teams where you guys as teams work together to create some add-on that performs some function that you want to do. And we can do this as a problem set related thing. Maybe there'll be smaller things that are like individual problem sets, problems for individuals to do, and then other things that are kind of more team oriented. I don't know. We can talk about how to proceed, but I think it's premature to try to do that now, because I think it's important for you to see more of the nuts and bolts and what's possible, so that then your eyes will be open and you can say, now I can see how I might be able to approach this kind of thing or that kind of thing. Okay. So I will stop our recording, which is in here somewhere. There is the more.